Open Door Baptist Church. How many of you guys are tired today? I see a lot of hands are tired. Well, we're going to work on that this morning. So y'all, please stand up. We're going to sing about that river of life.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole.
Heads as we open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for this church that we can gather together and worship you, God. And Lord, this morning, I want to thank you for our wonderful VBS, God. 9 salvations I've seen up on the board here. God, what an incredible work that you did during our vacation Bible school this year, God. And I thank you and praise you and help us to be mentors and disciple these children as you would have them done, God. And Lord, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our service this morning, upon our Pastor Larry, upon our worship songs, and everything we say and do, God, that we want to glorify and honor you this morning. And I thank you for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day. So far, we collected $117.55 for our summer legacy offering. Our goal is $2,000. And today I want to tell you about the Association's Disaster Relief Program. And this is from the Disaster Relief page. When you've seen a disaster on the news in the last 50 years, what you may not have seen is the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief volunteers who are already on the scene, and they remained long after the news cameras left town. As the third largest disaster response team in the nation, this network of state-based volunteer teams does more than just clean up. They bring the healing of Christ to those whose lives have been shattered. Disaster relief is a mission field where the fields are ripe for the harvest and a ministry where an eternal impact on somebody's life can be made. God can turn catastrophes into conversions when people answer his call to serve. The Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association is looking for men and women interested in serving Christ by serving others through disaster relief. The disaster relief coordinator is Roy Palmentier. If you are interested in serving in disaster relief, please fill out the disaster relief survey on the association's website. By giving to the Summer Legacy Offering, you help support the association's disaster relief ministry. This includes maintenance for 3 trailers the association has for disaster relief. Open Door's goal for this offering is $2,000. If you would like to give today, please write Legacy on your envelope, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you. You may also give online by clicking the Add Donation link on the donation page of Open Door's website. Please pray and give as the Lord directs you. Please also pray for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association, for the 22 churches the association serves, and for the disaster relief ministry. On a personal note, I would like to thank all of you who have been praying for my daughter, her husband, and their baby. They're all doing well. Baby's doing as well as he can be expected, being 6.5 weeks premature and having just undergone surgery. He will have his breathing tube removed today, and Mom and dad and baby are all together at Children's Hospital, so please continue to pray for a quick recovery. Thank you and thank you.
Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Y'all still look kind of tired here this morning, so I'm going to do something. Where's the yellow team? How about y'all, you yellow team workers and children, come up to the front here real quick. Because and also Amy and Carrie Ann, can you guys come up here too?
Nice.
You know, of all the songs and all the things that we did at VBS, this one got us moving. And just so you know, this was a request by the pastor, so this is not my. I'm rolling over already.
We only have one yellow team, so we're bringing some
red. Yeah, bring some. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bring someone up here. So you guys spread out through here. We want to cheat. We're going to get the church up. We're going to get them moving this morning, right? Willie, I want to see you moving. Willie, I want to see Willie moving. All right. You guys ready? I want you guys to stand up. These guys are going to lead us this morning, right? So how about a few of you guys come over here so this left side can see you over here? How about some folks come over here? Because these guys on the left, they need to, or the right.
Mark's the director.
They need to go too. All right. Yeah, Pam's there too, right? All right, hit it, Belinda. Best songs I remember of all the kids. That was awesome. All right. Now we are all moving a little bit. Let's worship God a little bit this morning. Amen.
Amen.
What can I say? Stand.
At his voice, how great is our God. No one will see how great is our God.
God, you are truly great. You are so awesome. You are so worthy to be praised. Lord, you have blessed us in so many different ways. Ways that we probably don't even know of. But Lord, you have helped us every single step of the way, whether we realize it or not. So Lord, we give you praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor that you are due. Lord, we thank you for the answered prayer for Ezekiel, Lord, and how you've answered that prayer, and for Callista and the family. Lord, we thank you for answering prayer for Janelle, Lord, and how you've turned her liver numbers around. Lord, we give you praise and thanks for that. We thank you for getting Johnny home. Lord, we can just keep going and going. There's so much for you to be praised for. But Lord, we praise you because you're so worthy to be praised. It is our privilege to honor and glorify you. So Lord, be pleased with this offering of praise, Lord, that it is, Father, a sweet, sweet aroma to you. It is an offering of love, Lord. And Lord, as we come to the time of your word, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us through worship, now through your word, Lord. And as always, Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak. If what I prepared is not that, silence me, rise up the one that you have to speak today, Lord. Why? Because it's for your glory, for your honor. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Listen, all you yellow team people that were up here dancing, you know, some churches, you know where you're going to go for that. Thank God we don't believe that here. You're going to go to heaven, that's right, right? We'll be dancing with David, amen? Yeah. So listen, VBS was great. But listen, I just want to take a moment and say happy Father's Day to all you dads. Listen, I am proud to have a church where so many of the fathers are involved in the leading of their family into corporate worship. It is a blessing to have you fathers here. It is a blessing that you come here and you are so blessed by God that he has given you that desire to do that. You have no clue. Because when the father comes to church, almost always the family will continue to come. Not always, but almost always. When the father's not present, the kids will scatter usually. But so we have so much to be blessed about all you dads. Now, who's the oldest dad in the house? Anybody here, father is 80 or older? All right, anybody that's 85 or older? Well, happy Father's Day to you, John. Hey. Yeah, right? Okay, so who is the youngest dad in the house? The youngest dad in the house. Okay, 1 month? 2 months? How old? A month and a half? You the youngest dad? He's the youngest. Oh, no, who has the youngest baby? The newest dad. Yeah, so happy Father's Day. And happy Father's Day to you. We are so blessed. And thank you. So listen, we have a lot to be thankful for, and the main thing we're thankful for that VBS was such a success, amen? 9 salvations came out of that, and that is so much to give God a praise offering for, amen? And Paula, it's good to see you. You're missing some part of you, but it's good to see you. But Paula, we have prayed long and hard for you and your family as well. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, I've entitled this sermon, The Impact of Forgiveness. This morning, we are going to wrap up this series on forgiveness. We're going to wrap up the series on forgiveness, and I don't know about you, but this series has affected me. I've told you all numerous times that in order for me to preach it, God walks me through it. And anybody that's ever preached a sermon is nodding their head yes right now. So if I preach it, I got to walk through it. And walk through it I have. We have seen what forgiveness does inside of a family, how forgiveness changes the relationship inside of a family, not just our physical families, but our spiritual families as well. Like this body right here, forgiveness changes the relationships that we have here in this body. But you know what? So does unforgiveness. Unforgiveness changes us as well. I have shown you how unforgiveness holds you hostage to another person and produces bitterness in your life, how unforgiveness affects your health, both mentally and physically, and unforgiveness gives Satan a door to walk through and take control of. Unforgiveness interferes with your relationship with God. Unforgiveness will wreck your witness and ruin your testimony. But a life of forgiveness will express the love of Christ to others. It enriches the body of Christ. Remember, God placed you here in the fellowship of God's people, right? He's put you here, and forgiveness enriches the body of Christ, this body right here. And forgiveness is part of the deepening work of Christ, and how forgiveness deepens the work of Christ in you personally, spiritually. Forgiveness is freedom, right? Spiritual freedom, psychological freedom. Also, remember I told you that forgiving should be a natural reaction in the life of a believer. We have learned as Christians how we are to ask for forgiveness and how to give forgiveness. And last week we looked at the benefits of remembering, how God allows us to remember our own sin, and we can remember how much we have been forgiven of and how much we have to be thankful for. How do we ever pay back for what we have been given? That's just a rundown of the sermons I preached to you. But unfortunately, we also remember that people have sinned against us. And that is the book of Philemon. That's what the book of Philemon is about. So let me recap this for you quickly. The book of Philemon is actually a letter written by Paul while he was in jail to his friend and brother in Christ, Philemon. And Philemon had a slave whose name was Onesimus, right? And who stole something, probably money, from Philemon and ran away. But somehow, some way, Onesimus hears about Paul and he seeks him out in a Roman prison. And Paul shares the gospel with Onesimus, and Onesimus comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon to face the music, per se. But he's not just merely sending him as a slave. He's now sending him as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ. But listen, he has to go back to his master, right? But now Paul was appealing to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, no longer as a slave, but now as a brother in Christ. That just as Christ freed Onesimus and you, Philemon, that's what Paul's telling him, is just as Christ forgave Onesimus and you, Philemon, that you now, Philemon, should forgive Onesimus in that very same manner. And if you remember, Paul said that perhaps in verse 15 of Philemon, right? He said that perhaps when Onesimus departed, he ran away, keeping in mind that God did not ordain Onesimus to steal and run away. God didn't tell Onesimus to steal this money and run away. But Onesimus did it. But that God used Onesimus' sin for this purpose, that he would return forever to Philemon as a brother, that God would take an ugly situation and turn it for the good. And I explained that to you, how he did that in my life. And I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, that God has taken ugly situations in my life and turned them for his glory. Now, not situations approved or ordained by him, I might add. But he has taken ugly situations and he has used them for good, for his glory. So Paul is appealing now to Philemon to forgive this runaway slave. So in a nutshell, this is the book of Philemon. Now you will not see the word forgiveness at all in the text. Not in this entire letter at all, in fact. But forgiveness is weaved throughout this entire thing, from the first word to the period at the end. This letter is all about forgiveness. Now, last week we looked at verses 18 and 19, where Paul said anything that Onesimus owes you, I will repay it. Repay that. But then Paul said, "But don't forget this, Philemon. Don't forget, you owe me as well. You have a spiritual debt to me. I shared the gospel with you, and I introduced you to Jesus Christ. Paul said, Onesimus, Paul said to Philemon, Onesimus may owe you some physical, tangible debt, but you owe me a spiritual debt, but that you will never be able to pay. Paul said, verse 17, look what he says. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. What he's saying there is forgive him, brother. He's saying, hey, brother Philemon, you need to forgive him as you would forgive me. And that's where we will pick up today in the last message on forgiveness. And what I can, and what I want to show you is this. I want to show you the impact of forgiveness. The impact of forgiveness. The impact forgiveness has, what it has in the life of a believer individually, what it has in the life of a believer personally, but also how it benefits the church, right? How it benefits us, how it impacts us corporately throughout the body. That in two different ways, forgiveness has an impact on other people. Do you understand that how we operate here, how we operate in this body has an impact on this community? Do you understand that? Listen, I cannot tell you the number of times I'm out somewhere and someone will come up to me and say, I know you, you're the pastor at that church. It's always that church. They never know the name of the church, but you're the pastor of that church. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I think I told you this, I was up at Walmart and the cashier, a young girl, she kept staring at me and she was she was cashing out the lady in front of me, but she had her eyes fixed on me like beep, beep, beep. I mean, you know, her eyes was fixed on me, and she kept staring to the point that I was becoming uncomfortable. Listen, not a lot of people stare at this, all right? But she just kept staring at me, and then she said, I got up there, she goes, I know, you're the pastor with the squirt gun. She said, when I was small, I came to your vacation Bible school every single year. She says, I loved coming there. And obviously, I invited her back, right? And it happened again just last week in Weirton. This past week, it happened in Weirton at a restaurant where a young man approaches me and says, hey, he says, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, well, of course, Alex, I do remember you. And he looked, he says, really? I didn't think you would. I said, Alex, you got your name tag on. Right? So, listen, so he says, you probably don't remember me. I said, honestly, Alex, I don't. He says, yeah. He says, I came to church with Haas, and I came to Bible school. Listen, we don't realize the impact that somebody or something like that has on this community to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, last week was VBS. We had 122 kids that were enrolled in this church for VBS Vacation Bible School, most of which are not members of this church. Now, I haven't run the numbers, but I figured that better than 90% of the kids that filtered through here last week were not members of this church. And then the parents who brought them and the parents who were watching, right? And we don't know the homes that they come out of. Some of us are guessing after spending a week with the kids, but you know what I mean? But listen, we don't know the homes they come out of. We don't know what they believe about Jesus Christ is what I'm trying to say. But VBS is the largest outreach that we have where we are pouring into this community. Also, the motorcycle run is another one. Most of the people who attend and participate in that were not members of this church. You know, I sat down at Sheets one night and just handed out invitations to anyone who rode in there on a motorcycle. Listen, we don't know what their religious backgrounds are. We don't know what they believe about Jesus Christ. But we are inviting them into this building, into our fellowship. We're inviting them into this congregation, into this fellowship. And listen, we need to realize the impact this church can have on this community. People are watching. People are evaluating. They're watching. Who are they watching? They're watching us. So Paul comes and he looks and look what he says there. He says this. He says, it's personal. He's coming and he says, look, what people are watching and it's personal. Now let me show you what this is going to do in verse 20. Look what he says. He says, yes, brother, let me have joy. Now the Christian Standard and the ESV both say, may I benefit. Yes, brother, may I benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Now, this is another play on words that Paul is using here, because remember what the meaning of Onesimus' name is. It means what? Useful or what? Beneficial, right? Paul was saying, let me benefit from you. Let me have a profit. Let me profit from you. Do you realize God has put you into this fellowship? You're here today. God has put you into this fellowship so that you and I will benefit each other. Not just in the physical sense. Yes, that's part of it, but it's not just a physical sense. But it's more to be a spiritual benefit to one another, amen? Because everything that Paul is going to talk about here is a spiritual benefit. You are here, and you may not think you matter, but trust me, you matter. In fact, I would love you to say that. Just say, I matter. I matter, right? You're here and you may not think you matter, but you are here because God put you here. It's not by accident that you walk through these doors, right? If God put you here because somebody can benefit from who you are. You matter. And so Paul says, let me benefit. He says, let me benefit in two ways here. He says, number one, watch. He says, refresh my heart in the Lord, right? Now the word refresh there means to be relaxed, to be rested, to be strengthened. That means I have an inner peace. I have an inner joy in the Lord. Look what it says, in the Lord. You got to underline that there, in the Lord. To be strengthened in order to be able to what? To complete the job. What job? The job on which I was called to do. You know, how you treat me and how we interact with one another and how you support me benefits how I am able to minister back to you. It means this. It means to find strength to carry out. To carry out the purpose of which God has tasked me with. Rest, spiritual peace, spiritual joy. It's just a host of things that it means. I'm rested, I'm relaxed, I'm strengthened, I'm refreshed. You know, there are some people who have the opposite effect of that. You know that? Have you ever gotten around somebody and you just tighten up? You just tense up, that you get uncomfortable around? You tighten up and you think, and you can't, it just when they're around, it's just like you can't think of anything to say all of a sudden. You can't carry on a conversation. You feel like you have to mark every word that comes out of your mouth, every word that you say. You feel like they're watching and they're waiting just to pounce on whatever you say. So you think, what do I say next? How do I say it? So you just stand there. How do I respond to this person? And so you just get tight and you get so on edge around that person. And when that person walks off and leaves, you just feel drained. You have no energy left. You're exhausted. You have an internal unrest. And when that happens, you think, that took everything I had. And you think, that took everything in the world out of me. And then you begin to think and you begin to pray and you begin to think, I pray that I'm not that person to somebody else. Amen. Because, Lord, I don't want to be that way. Lord, don't make me like that, Lord. If I'm that way, Lord, please work in me, change me. Don't let anybody tense up around me. Don't let anybody get anxious and fearful when they come around me. You know, that's one of the bad things about being the pastor. Sometimes when I walk into a room or something, some classroom or something, and automatically the whole thing will change, and I'll ask the person and say, well, I get really tense whenever you walk in a room. Listen, I'm not there to be against you. I'm there to be for you. I'm there to partner with you. I'm there to get your back. Listen, don't do that. I pray that the Lord would not allow me to be like that, you think. I don't want to be that way. I want to be somebody that when you are around me, you are refreshed and you are relaxed and you walk away rested. You walk away encouraged, not beat up. You walk away with peace and a joy. You walk away lighter. You walk around feeling like, you know what? I've got strength to do what I need to do. Now. It's like an encourager, right? Well, that's what Paul is saying here to Philemon. That's what Paul is saying. He says, Philemon, if you forgive this guy and if you take this guy back, you're going to refresh me. what your action is going to be towards Onesimus. He says, this is going to bring a joy to me. This is going to refresh me. This is going to relax me. It will bring peace to my soul. It will bring rest to my spirit. Paul is saying, look, he's saying, I'm in prison, Philemon. I'm all chained up here to this praetorian guard, right? And he says, if you do this, Philemon, he says, you will refresh my heart in Christ, and it will bring me joy. And because of that, I'll have the strength to go on to continue to do the things God has called me to do while I'm here. Remember, he's saying he's not a prisoner of the Romans. He's a prisoner of Christ. He says, you do these things, he says, with Onesimus. He says, I'll have the strength to continue to do what I need to do. But he said, the second way is this. He says this. He says, look what he says the second way. He says, having confidence, there in verse 21. He's having confidence in your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. So here comes Paul, and he said, hey, Philemon, everything I've given you to do, you have built confidence in my life. You ever have somebody like that? Everything that you do, you've built confidence in my life. You've built a confidence up that I can trust you. I can give you a job. I can give you a task. I can give you a situation. And I have confidence that you're going to do your best. And if it can be worked out and solved, you're the guy that can do it. So in other words, if you come to somebody and say, hey, will you do this? And they agree to do it, then I can count on you to do it at your word. If you ever have somebody that say they'll do something, then they don't do it. What happens? You don't trust them. You begin not to ask them anymore. Why? Because you don't have the confidence anymore, right? So we have this, we do start developing this confidence. He says, I got this confidence in you. He says, all that you've done in the past, that builds confidence in me. You know, thankfully, I have people like that in my life. Amen. I do. I have people that build confidence in me all the time in the ministry. Let me tell you something. When you've got confidence in a person that you choose, what does that do for you? I mean, think about it. This person that you trust and you give them things in your life and you start sharing things with them and they do things that builds confidence in your life. When you choose that person to do that, it builds confidence in you. When they follow through with what they say and what they're going to do, it brings a confidence to you. You know, I have confidence in my leadership team. I really do. If I didn't, they wouldn't be here. That's just the plain and simple of it. I brought them to me. I called them to come and be part of my leadership team. And listen, I have confidence in them. I put all of my confidence in them. I tell them things that I would never tell you. How's that? Listen, I have confidence in them or they wouldn't be my leadership team. You know what? I've got confidence. I have confidence that if I give them something, and I know that they're going to do it and I don't have to worry about it. Now, you guys, I don't know where Richie went, but listen, you guys remember that over the next few weeks. I got confidence in you. Don't let me walk back in here with a divided church, all right? Listen, I have confidence in that. I'm not worried. I can leave and I can know. I have confidence that they're going to step up, right? I know that they have the best interest of you and the best interest of me. So you know what? I have confidence in them. You know what that means? While I'm down for the next few weeks, I can relax. I can relax, right? I have confidence that when they take on their ministry, I don't have to look over their shoulder. How about our ministry leaders? We have ministry leaders here. I have confidence that when they do their ministry, I don't have to look over their shoulder either, right? I don't have to micromanage our ministry leaders to make sure that they're doing their job right. I don't have to do that, thank God. You know, Heather Ramsey has lived at this church for the minimum of last 2 weeks, maybe the last month, but she's lived here at the church for the last 2 weeks getting ready for VBS. You all know that our VBS is a huge deal, right? It takes a lot to pull that off. Heather is the director. You know what? But I don't have to worry about her. You know why? Because I have confidence in her. I got people to come in at Walmart or the restaurant or people to come in here and say, man, you put on a great VBS. And I automatically will look at them and say, it's not me, trust me. I have very little in this. I said, you see all those guys running around with those staff shirts on? There's who's doing the work. Right? I have confidence, right? I don't have to worry about her. I have confidence every year that she will get the job done with the 68 volunteers to help her. That is just so awesome, right? So listen, I can relax. You know what I did most of the week, honestly? Do you know what I did most of the week? Because I kept getting yelled at by people because I was trying, between Kevin and Mike, I was getting yelled at every time I turned around because of my hip. I sat back here on the back pew. They moved this front pew back to the wall, and I sat back here where Joy's sitting right now most of the week. And I watched everybody do their thing. You know what? Barb takes care of our preschool department. You know what? I don't have to worry about our preschool department. I don't have to look over her shoulder. I don't have to worry if there will be extended workers back there. I have confidence. Therefore, you know what I can do? I can concentrate on the spiritual work that God has called me to do right here, right now. I have confidence to know that the children are taken care of, right? And parents can relax and Oh, there's that word relax again. That you can relax and you can hear the word of God. You know what else? I don't have to worry about worship. Thank God that's out of my hands. I don't have to worry about worship in this church. I don't have to oversee everything that Mike does up here. You want to know why? Because he knows what I expect. We've talked. We've talked to one another. You know what? I give him one requirement. Make sure that whatever you sing lines up with the word of God. The rest is yours. He just does what he does with all of these who come alongside of him to serve, right? I have confidence in that he and they will bring us to a point of worship every single Sunday, that I and you can be refreshed spiritually through praise and worship to our God. And when we get that refreshment, it brings us joy and it brings honor to God. Do you think that does not build confidence in me? That's what Paul was saying. He's saying that same thing to Philemon. He says, Philemon, you do this, and I know you'll do it. It builds confidence in me. Do you know everybody loved Philemon? Do you know that everybody loved Philemon except one person? And Philemon loved everybody else except one person. Look at verse 7. We have great joy and consolation that what Paul was talking here. You have great joy and consolation. See, that's what Paul was talking about. I have come, as he's saying, I have great joy and consolation. I have come to have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. He said, look, through you. Paul's looking and talking to Philemon. He's saying, through you. You do that to everybody. You love everybody. Philemon, you get along with everybody except one person. Why is he pointing this out? Because it only takes that one person to bring a big disruption. And who is that one person? Onesimus. So let me ask you this. Who's your one? I'm not talking about that basket. I'm talking about the basket in here. Who's your one? The one in your heart that you won't forgive. Now watch this, because here comes the corporate part. I just gave you the personal part, but here comes the corporate part. He's going to begin to talk corporately to the saints. Look what it says in that there. It says the hearts of the saints. So he's going to turn corporately to the saints. He says, but everybody is watching you. That's what he's saying in that text. He's saying everybody's watching you corporately, the hearts of the saints. And if you back up into that verse, it says we, right? He says, all right, so he's beginning to turn this corporate. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. You wonder why they put this in there? Well, let me tell you why Paul put this in here. He put this in here because he wants Philemon to know that all of these church leaders are watching him. They're all watching him. The whole church is watching him. Remember, this whole letter is to be read in front of the church. But he comes down into verse 23 and verse 24, and look what he says. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Jesus, look what he said, Jesus He, fellow prisoner of Christ, he's saying, he's watching you, Philemon. He greets you, as do Mark. So now there's Mark, there's Epaphras, and so now there's Mark. And now I want to remind you who Mark is here. Back in the book of Acts, Paul had an issue with Mark. You remember that? Paul himself had an issue with Mark, so much so that Paul refused to go on a second missionary journey if Barnabas insisted on taking him with along, right? So he said, if Mark's going, I'm not going on a missionary journey. The disagreement, the Bible says, was a sharp disagreement. There was a problem, just like there was against Philemon and Onesimus. There was a sharp problem between Paul and Mark, right? And he says, there was a sharp disagreement that Paul parted ways with Barnabas and Mark. So this same Mark that's right here in this text, right? This same Mark now is visiting with and ministering to Paul in prison. You see it? You got to catch some of that stuff. So it is obvious that some restoration and apology and forgiveness had taken place somewhere in the past. There was a restoration. So look, because they're in prison with Paul is Mark. And in 2 Timothy, just before Paul dies, he requested that they send who? Who did Paul request there right before he dies? He says, somebody go get Mark. Because why? He says, because Mark was useful to him. You tell me that relationships can be restored back to being a useful, productive relationship. He's lived it. He knows it. He says, Mark, he's useful. As you're going to find out in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just before Paul dies, he says, send Mark. He says, I got use for him. What he's saying, he said, look, he's not useless. Look, verse 24, Mark, there in the text, Mark is there. There's Aristarchus, there's Demas, there's Luke, the doctor, the fellow brother. He's also, they're all there. He said, listen, let me tell you, Philemon, all these guys know. All these guys here with me, they all know who? They all know Onesimus has been here. They know his story. They know that he's on his way back to you, and they're watching. The community's watching. You know what's more importantly that's watching? Our children are watching. Your children are watching. Your relatives are watching. So what are they watching? What are they looking out for? What are they watching in us? Are we a forgiving people? That's what they're watching. Are we a forgiving congregation? Because our community watches and they know people. And they know people on the outside can tell when there is discord on the inside. Don't you think that the people outside don't know that there's a discord that goes on inside churches? Trust me, that kind of thing spreads quicker than an out-of-control wildfire while you're putting gasoline on it. Listen, people on the outside need to understand that in here, in this place, in these walls, inside this body, when we come here to learn of the Word of God, that when we commune together and worship, that we can forgive one another. Amen. That we are a forgiving people. Amen. You say, Pastor, we are not fighting. No, thank God we're not. Praise God. Amen. We're not fighting amongst ourselves, at least not that I know of, not corporately. And I thank God for that. But listen, let me tell you something. When somebody is mad at somebody, does that ever happen in the church? Does people ever get hurt in the church? Absolutely. Let me tell you something. When somebody is mad at somebody, everyone in the church knows it. And let me tell you something else. Unforgiveness will fracture a fellowship, and it will be what is told out in the community. We don't have to be fighting with one another, just me and Zeke. Not be fighting with just us. And people will know. Unforgiveness will impact you personally, negatively, which in turn will impact us corporately, is what I'm trying to say. It'll impact us negatively. But praise the Lord, forgiveness will impact us positively. Right? Let me tell you that the forgiveness of God, let me tell you what the forgiveness of God releases. it releases the transforming power of God in a person's life. It really, truly does. It releases the transforming power in a person's life. Look at the last verse of verse 25. Watch this. I wish I had so much more time to close this out. I could preach another couple of sermons. But listen, I had so much more time. Paul comes and he says, look, he's speaking, I think, to Philemon, but speaking to the church as well. And I think he's speaking this as well to Onesimus. But I don't think that I can unpack everything that Paul says in this one little, in his text right here. I wished I had more time to do it, but I don't think I can. But he says it. Look, but he says this for a reason. Look what he says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I wish I had time. Now there's something there. I'm not quite gotten it yet, but I think he's talking about the deepest part of your life. That's what he's talking about. I believe he's talking about the deepest part of your life. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about your soul. That the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is released in your spirit when there is forgiveness in your life. That there's a power that comes from God upon you. When you forgive that person who has wronged you, that bitterness, that pain, that anger, that hurt, that anxiety, the stress, he says, I'll let it relax. A peace that transcends all, it doesn't come from you. That's why. It doesn't come from you. It comes from God, right? When you forgive that person has wronged you, a spiritual release will take place and the power of God will rebuild. Not only rebuild a relationship, but a joy. It will rebuild a joy. It will rebuild a peace. It will bring an inner gladness into your spirit and into your soul. And a spiritual rest and a spiritual joy that only God can deliver to you by removing a personal burden. He doesn't come up and say, well, Zeke's arguing with the pastor, we need to boot him out. That's not how it goes. That's not why you even leave a church, actually. Actually, if you leave a church under that pretense, you're an error of God's word, because he should never leave this church if him and I are arguing. We should come. And then if he decides to leave, he's good to go. For the right reason, if I say so. Forgiveness will bring about an incredible work of God. And most, listen, and there's where I really had more time. Most scholars agree, and I agree with them as I studied it out, what little time I had over the last week. We are confident that Philemon forgave Onesimus. Do you want to know why? I'm just jumping now. I'm just jumping. You want to know why? Who do you think became the pastor in the church of Ephesus when Paul and Philemon died? Onesimus, however we want to say it, right? He became the pastor of the church. Now, just stop and think about that. What would it mean for you to be forgiven? To be forgiven from that person that hurt you. Someone who has wounded you deeply, in that, in Christ, that they would give you that forgiveness. Just think of what it would mean to you, the forgiver, the person who's doing the forgiving. Just think what that would mean to you, and also to the recipient of the forgiveness. You're all starting to draw a correlation here, right? That if there was a willingness to forgive and a willingness to ask for forgiveness while I was still, Christ died for me, and he says, come, If there was a willingness to forgive and a willingness to ask for forgiveness, and listen, a willingness to rebuild relationships that have been broken, can you imagine the possibilities? Can you even begin to imagine the possibilities? Can you imagine the possibilities personally, but can you imagine the possibilities corporately that Christ could do through that in your life and what he could do in the fellowship of this body? Not to mention the rebuilding of relationships, unity with each other, that in Christ I now am unified with God. I'm in relationship with God. Do you know that's what Christ has done for you? We are told that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Not in part, but in whole. Every bit of it. You say, I don't know you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know. You need to know because he knows. And he says, I'm willing to forgive that. I'm that thing, that horrible thing. I'm willing to forgive it if you will come to me and ask me. That God so loved us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for your sin, and now he calls us to come and to seek his forgiveness. He's calling us. He's saying, I'm offering it. Come and get it. Come and receive it. We are told that as many as believe, to them he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of Christ, the sons and daughters of God. To as many that will believe it, as many that will come to him, he says, I will give you eternal life. Now let me tell you this. I don't ever do this very often. I'm just putting it out there. The Spirit is actually telling me right now that there's somebody here this morning in this service and you've never done that. And you know you need to. You know who you are. I don't. God's speaking to you. Somebody in this service needs to come and take that offer of forgiveness. You've never come to the Lord and said, Jesus, I come to ask you for the forgiveness of my sins. I want your forgiveness for my sins. I want your mercy, and I long for your grace. I'm in need of your love. I've done things against you. I've done things against others that I don't even want to have to mention out loud. I just come because I need your mercy, and I need your grace. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't know if he would have me. Is he speaking to you right now? Then he'll have you. The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now. He will have you right now, saying, look, you come. I will forgive you of all unrighteousness. I will, if you will believe and trust in me as your Lord and Savior, I will give you this forgiveness. So I ask you to pray right now. Just pray right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you were crucified for my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died for me. I believe that you died to pay the penalty for my sin and that you are raised from the dead to give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord. I'm asking you this by faith. I'm coming approaching you by faith. Come into my heart and give me the faith to follow you. I profess you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Listen, the prayer doesn't save you. The faith that you just prayed it in does. Now I pray that if you've prayed that, I'm going to ask you to come share with me and let me share with the congregation. Listen, I won't hold you here, but we need to give God the glory. Amen. He deserves the glory, right? And now I want to speak to all you Christians. You have been forgiven by Christ, amen? But there are issues of unforgiveness still in our lives. I don't know what they are. There are so many, that's what I said when I started this, there are so many elements of unforgiveness, I can't even begin to speak them all. But there are issues of unforgiveness still in our lives. You may have pushed it deep down. but you know in your heart it's still there. It's still residing in the bottom of your heart. And maybe even as a church, as a congregation, but certainly personally and individually. Listen, in your heart you want to forgive because you know it's the right thing to do. You know it's what God's telling you to do. We know that we're supposed to do this. So you want to forgive. You do want it, but you are still hanging on to it. You're saying one thing, but when you get up, you pull it back close to you. Let me ask you a question, church. What's it going to take for you to let go of it? Let me give you a hint. In of yourself, you can't. Only as the scripture just read, by the power of God. Amen. Only then can you get up and walk away from it. What's it going to take? I want you to be free. That doesn't matter. God wants you to be free of that burden that's so ugly that wants to hold us down. And keep God from moving in your life and in our church. Receive His forgiveness first and foremost, and then go and you forgive. Let us pray. Lord, we can hide nothing from You. Lord, You know all things, You see all things, You hear all things, and yet You still love us. You have compassion towards us, a tenderness, a long-suffering for us. Father, I pray that in these moments as You speak to our hearts, I pray that we would not be resistant to what You are saying to us. Oh, Lord, Father, may our lives be pleasing to the One who has forgiven us of so much. That we will become the Christ children. May we not hinder Your Spirit from moving within us. May Your Spirit move powerfully among us, even as we speak. We ask that You move this way powerfully. Not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the kingdom of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you this. Would you come? As the praise band gets ready to play, as God is speaking at the same time, just slip out the altar and come to me. And just come up front and listen. I'll be standing here. I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. I won't keep you here. I want to point you out. Listen. This is serious business that we need to really deal with. Let God move. Let Him move.
Will you all please stand?
You
KJ and family, you need to know that there's something taking place in heaven right now. According to the scripture, it says that all of heaven is rejoicing. All of it is because of the decisions that you've made. So we pray his blessings will always be upon you, and that you will always serve him with gladness in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we know that there's people that we need to pray for, and so we just ask that you continue to pray for them. Amen. The WMU has candy bars for the fathers. Woo! I may have to beat you guys to the back.
However, before we leave today, everybody, most of you know Pastor Larry has a surgery this coming Wednesday. So we wanted to just take a few minutes here. We want to lay hands on him. Right? Larry knows that the church loves him.
Amen.
But we also want to pray over him as well. So If you feel comfortable, if you want to come up and just lay hands on Pastor Larry here, please. I know he appreciates the support and love.
Amen. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you grateful that we have a pastor that loves you and that seeks to serve you, Lord. I pray that this surgery would go according to your will, and that it would draw him closer to you, Lord, and at the end of this, he would walk firmer and stronger in the faith and be a better follower, Lord, so he could shepherd us rightly Lord, we lift up the anesthesiologists, the nurses, the doctors, and Donna as she takes care of him as well, Lord, and that he would be up and walking and that he would listen to the doctors.
Yeah.
And that he would listen to the doctors and that he would heal, Lord, according to your timetable. And that while he is recovering, Lord, we would remember him and his family in our prayers, Lord, as it is a big surgery, Lord, but we pray that he would be drawn closer to you and that his family would be as well. And that in his absence, Lord, we would just continue,
yes,
ministering to each other, loving,
yes,
one another, and living out the command,
yes,
to go tell the world. Father, as we leave here today on Father's Day, we remember those who do not have fathers that have passed on, Lord, and those that have broken relationships, Lord, with,
yes,
their fathers. And Lord, we know that you are a good, good Heavenly Father. Yeah. We ask that as a good Heavenly Father, that you would watch over Larry, keep him, Lord, in your will. We do pray for a speedy recovery and,
yes,
a successful surgery.
Yes.
And that he wouldn't be too much of a baby.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all very much. I love you all.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. You're dismissed.